Your Turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mularkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. I'll tell you what, it doesn't feel like spring out there this afternoon. It feels like summer. It is already 79 degrees. Obviously, we're going to hit the 80-degree mark. Very nice. But as you just heard Tracy said, there's weather on the way. I just checked the radar. The front of the shower activity is now approaching Columbus, Ohio. It's through Toledo, so we're probably going to be getting something by late afternoon. We'll keep an eye on it for you. Keep an eye on the radar. But summertime temperatures, nice. Our guests on the It's Your Turn program today are two. The president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower, is with us. Dr. Neupower, good to see you as always.
Thank you, Dave.
Also with us is the Director of Communications and Marketing at BC3, Jess Matna. Jess, good to see you as well.
You too, Dave.
Almost hate to bring you guys indoors on a day like this. You'd like to savor every moment that you can outside. It's gorgeous, huh?
Yeah, those cold, icy days and all of the very early morning decisions that we had and weather delays and school closings, those are long in the past whenever you have a day like this outside. It's beautiful.
And this is a, a fun time of the year for those involved in any way with higher education, whether you're a student or administrator or a president, for goodness sake, because it's commencement time, or it soon will be. In fact, I think, Dr. Neupower, you have something tonight, don't you?
Yes, I appreciate the weather update because we're keeping our fingers crossed that the rain will hold off, although our nursing pinning is held in the suck-up theater. Of course, nursing is such an important, it's a hallmark program of the college, and because it's such a special group of graduates, we hold our traditional nurses' pinning, which is very appropriate and symbolic of these students going through this very rigorous program. We hold that this evening. Our keynote speaker, I will speak, but our keynote speaker is Ken DeFurio. Mm. So we have a great keynote speaker.
CEO of Butler Health System, so that's good.
Yeah. And a relatively new board member for the college, probably a year and a half or so. The theater is always packed. It's wonderful to hear from the students, great to see their family. And we'll have a packed house in the theater again tonight.
So I understand it, too. I'm certainly no expert in this area, but there is a tremendous job market for new nurses these days.
Yes.
It's pretty easy to get a good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you graduate with a nursing degree.
Which is part of our strategy, our all-in strategy for nursing and allied health. We have a great dean of nursing, Dean Patty Anear. Of course, we've expanded our nursing program to BC3 at Brockway. We have the first cohort taking a class at Brockway. This academic year, we'll be admitting a second cohort for the start of the fall semester. We've upped our numbers for our current cohort, or for the cohort for next year that will be going to our main campus. But of course, the great news with the generosity of Tim Schaefer and Janice Phillips Larrick and her family, we submitted the application to the Pennsylvania Department of Education for an $18 million state-of-the-art Phillips Nursing and Allied Health building that will house the Schaefer School of Nursing on our campus. And I will mention that in my speech this evening. And we don't get to that point of going all in with nursing unless we have the excellence in the current nursing program. Mm-hmm. The licensure scores of our students are spectacular, among the very best in the state. We have tremendous faculty. All of our students are very special, the ones who graduate. But this nursing class has allowed us to move forward with a lot of strategies, both on our main campus and at BC3 at Brockway, to expand this nursing program to meet the needs, the occupational needs.
I know it's a competitive program to gain admittance. When the the new building is done, housing the nursing school, you'll be able to take more students, I assume.
Yes, we will, and we're excited about the possibility of some very unique future collaborations that in time we hope to announce that not only will be from a bricks and mortar perspective, mm-hmm. but also a partnership perspective with some other nearby colleges and universities.
And by the way, listeners, if you graduate with a degree in nursing here in Pennsylvania, you still have to take a test, right, yeah. to get a license. I mean, it's different from your final exams at the college. You still have to take a license exam.
Yeah, it's known as NCLEX, which is the National Council Licensure Examination for Registered Nurses.
I'm glad you knew what that was, Jen.
yes, I do. And our pass rate, as Dr. Neubauer mentioned, is just really pretty high. It's around 90%.
That's a tough test, too.
Oh, it's tough.
Get your nursing license, yeah.
So tonight we have 55 students who are going to receive their Associate in Applied Science in Nursing. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the 45th anniversary of the first graduating class of nursing tonight.
So. I knew your nursing program was very strong and very good. I didn't realize it went back that far. That's not all that long after the start of the school, for goodness sakes.
Yep, yeah. It began in 1973.
Yes. Mm.
Now, the graduating nurses, they actually get a pin, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so when you're in the hospital, you will see the nurses most often will have the pin representing their institution. Right now, this is part of a larger discussion. Right now, the terminal degree to work in hospitals is the RN degree.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some debate in the field about moving that terminal degree up to a BSN. And then, of course, from the Career and Tech Center and or VOTech model, students can graduate with an LPN. We actually have an LPN bridge program for some students with the correct qualifications to get into our RN program. And our students who are graduating with the Associates in Nursing, the RN, also have the opportunity for unique 3+1 partnerships with senior institutions to earn their BSN.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that with Waynesburg, Chatham. We have partnerships with Slippery Rock University. And I've been at the college since 99, president since 07. And for the most part, there has been a need in nursing. I know the need hasn't been in some years as it has in others. But again, that's part of our all-in strategy with this hallmark program of the college.
You know, there are a couple of, several actually, levels of nursing. LPN is licensed practical nurse. BSN is mm-hmm. Bachelor of Science in Nursing. And then there's even degrees beyond that. Now, I talked with somebody last year where you can advance to a really specialized nursing. It's even beyond a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. More study, of course.
Yeah.
But that's part of the changing nature of healthcare delivery. You know, mm-hmm. Less and less done by physicians, MDs,
yes.
and more done by physicians' assistants and highly skilled nurses. Yeah. So that takes place tonight, the nurses pinning, but commencement, the general commencement at BC3 is next week, and I understand that it will be the largest commencement class of the century.
Yep. The largest one, so it's on May 15th.
Mm-hmm.
We have it in our field house on main campus.
That's next Wednesday, by the way, right?
Yes, next Wednesday, yep. And we have 599 graduates. So that's 14 more than we had in 2017, which was the previous most top class.
Yes.
So yeah, we're at max capacity next week at that ceremony.
So for all intents and purposes, it's the largest graduating class in the last 20 years, really, you know, rounding it off.
Yeah, that's right. What's remarkable with that, Dave, of course, enrollments across the state are down, although we'll have some good news to share with the listeners about our summer enrollment. Our enrollment from a headcount perspective this past year was down roughly 3%, give or take some. Yet we're having record graduating classes. Seems like a disconnect, but what it means is that we've done a great job with the retention of our students, allowing the students to understand the value of staying for 2 years, not only from a cost perspective, but also a credential the attainment of a credential in your educational journey. Our graduation numbers, and I'll give some explanation for this, literally in the last several years has doubled from 14% to 28%. Now, from a listener perspective, why would an institution celebrate 28%? The way that the model is set up from the clearinghouse system that tracks data from all colleges and universities is that even our guest students, those I have a niece who will be taking a class from BC3 this summer, the in and out, Dia is a student at West Virginia University, and the fact that she takes this one class at BC3, she would be a strike against our graduation number, if that makes sense. Okay.
It doesn't. No.
No,
it's almost frankly, unfair bookkeeping.
It frankly doesn't. As a matter of fact, when there's discussion about performance funding, which right now it pops up every couple years, and when I was in Harrisburg, we were there last month, it came up again. We don't have a problem with performance funding, but the performance funding should be based on the appropriate measures. So if the way that the clearinghouse tracks our students is an in and out, and our my niece counts against us for graduation, let's just make sure that the numbers reflect that. I had a foundation board member a few years ago when we upped our graduation numbers to about 24-25%, say that just doesn't sound right. One in four students are graduating. But you take Paige, our oldest daughter, and Meredith, our youngest. Paige was here for a year, and then summer, and also college within the high school courses. Because her major was so prescribed at IUP, it didn't make any sense for her to stick around that second year. It was a win for mom and dad because of the quality and the affordability, but it would have been a strike against us for our graduation number. And the same thing for Meredith. What we are doing is really educating our students to the benefit of sticking around for the full 2 years. Again, enrollment is down a little bit, but our graduation numbers are as high as they have ever been. And you remember in 10-11, we were the fastest growing public institution in the entire Commonwealth. That's when we were growing 16-17%. So we're doing a great job of getting these students to stick around for graduation, as evidenced by about 600 students who will be walking.
By the way, to have good news on retention is important. I was reading a story, it was late last year, and there's been a lot in the news about the state system schools, many of them losing enrollment. Slippery Rock, no. Slippery Rock's an exception. They've been growing, but some of the other ones have had some pretty drastic losses. And that subject of retention came up of students who will start at, you know, whatever, Edinburgh, Clarion, whatever, but not finish their commitment there, you know.
So I'd like to speak to that for a second. We've talked about this often before. 32 public institutions in the Commonwealth. 4 what are called state-related. Notice my order here. Penn State, Temple, Lincoln, and Pitt. Those are your state-related. 14 state universities. That's the PASCHE school. Slippery Rock, Clarion, Edinburgh, IUP, Cal. Chancellor, we've talked about him. Dixon Center, a system, office, administration in Harrisburg. 14 community colleges, local governance. We come together with the PA Commission for Community Colleges. We are not part of a system. I'll speak as one president. I love our independence. I love our local connection. While it can present some limitations when 14 independents come as one to lobby in Harrisburg, I would rather have that. We can handle things at our own level. Tuition, fees, contracts, union contracts, purchasing, curriculum decisions, etc.
All of that is handled at the state level for the PASCHE institutions.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So from a selfish, from a president's perspective, there's a bit of controlling. This is very me related here from a personal level. I have always felt that I've had better control of my own destiny because of this local model. Great mm-hmm. partnership with the commissioners, great board. There's not multiple levels. Slippery Rock, Westchester aside, there have been some questions about the system, the 14. There have been for a number of years here. The concern that I have is that some folks might think a quick fix is to make the 14 28. And that is in other states. Florida has done that, where the state universities and the community colleges, which are now known as state colleges, are all one.
Huh.
So it's not an unusual model. But I would argue, and actually have argued, our independence and our local partnerships with SRU is still the best way for our students, the best pathway for our students. And by the way, we do that with Edinburgh and Clarion and Cal. What I worry about, going back to my earlier statements, is that if there is a macro template, and use this as an example, the fact that Westchester might not like how BC3's curriculum is set up in a particular major, that whole model, the seamless model, because one of the PASCHE schools might be against that, would prevent what's best for our students. So the approach that we take, it's working. We work it on the local level. We have a great relationship with Slippery Rock and these institutions that are very nearby. And if we are truly student-centered, that's what we're upholding here. So with PASCHE enrollments being down, there are some that have offered, well, just take the community college students, because the community college students would automatically force more students into the junior and senior pathway. My final point on this, from a retention perspective, there's data that we've cited many times, is that a student with an associate's degree will stick around for the baccalaureate degree. Is that there's so in other words, our students that we're giving the senior institutions have already been vetted. They're going to stick it out for the long run. Where the risk is in the retention rates for some of these universities, this came up with Edinburgh not long ago, is that they lose them as freshmen, and then the junior and senior classes aren't as big as they could be. We take great pride in our model at the freshman and the sophomore level, and once the students make it through us, when they transfer to the PASCHE institutions, rest assured that they will stick around for the baccalaureate degree.
Mm. Well, that's the first time I've heard of that plan being floated or run up the flagpole or whatever you want to say. I've seen various proposals to try to help out the 14 state universities, but I've not heard that before. That's kind of alarming, I would think.
Yeah, there's a lot that really needs to go into that. The other point, and I mentioned this before, and of course earlier, you and I being Penn State graduates, so I put Penn State first in that description. When the community colleges started with the Community College Act of 63, in the 50s was great growth for community colleges, because that was on the backside of World War II GI Bills and the Korean War with GI Bills. So there was a larger national movement to start community colleges. 1963, when the Pennsylvania State Legislature agreed to support this new model of community colleges, the Community College Act originally called for 28 community colleges. Today there's half that. It was only as a result of protest from Penn State's president and Pitt's chancellor, might have been Posvar and whoever was at Penn State at that time, that they were ticked that the legislature approved a new model of higher education in the state where the Penn State and Pitt branch campuses started.
Hmm.
It was a form of protest. Now, Johnstown and some others had been around a little while longer. My point for bringing that up is that Pennsylvania does not have a master plan for higher education in the Commonwealth like North Carolina does. And when population is high, everyone can survive. But when you get to 2019 and you analyze BC3 in Hermitage, Penn State, Chenango, Community College of Beaver County, Penn State, Beaver, when enrollment's tight, are there enough students to go around in all of these institutions?
Yep. See what you mean. Interesting. We need to take a break. We'll continue our conversation. Dr. Nick Neupower here from Butler County Community College. He's the president of the university. We'll take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Springtime is finally here, so get to Osterling's Lawn and Garden. Potatoes, onion bulbs, shallots, and garlic are all in stock. Chickens, ducks, and turkeys will be arriving the week of April 8th. Plus, asparagus, horseradish, and rhubarb roots will be in. Blueberries, raspberries, grapes, and much more will also be available. Stock up on lawn supplies like grass seed, lime, fertilizer, and Bonite crabgrass preventer. Decorate outside with hummingbird and oriole feeders. Eliminate pests with Bonite Dormant oil and fruit tree sprays. Also, protect your dog with Salvo flea and tick collars. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Attention seafood lovers. Crab legs are back on Fridays at Michael's Restaurant, and it's time to think about pampering mom on Mother's Day. Make her feel special by taking her to Michael's Restaurant. On Sundays, Michael's Restaurant features stuffed chicken breast, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more. Groups of six or larger, please make reservations.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Dr. Nick Neupower is here, president of Butler County Community College. We're also chatting with Jess Matnock, who's the director of communications at the school. So commencement ceremonies are next Wednesday night. By the way, is it mandatory that all graduates participate in commencement? That might seem like a silly question to some, but when I was in school, it was not. And there were some people I knew who chose not to go. I mean, for me, it was great to finish school and put on the cap and gown and go to commencement. But
it is not mandatory, but it is becoming more popular. Every year, we have more and more students who sign up to walk for the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, we're expecting a packed house. Next week.
Now you hold that, and that's in the field house.
It's in the field house.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And one of my favorite things about graduation is just seeing the diversity of the graduates.
Yeah.
So we have a 70-year-old grandmother of three graduating. She is our most senior graduate. And then we have a 17-year-old that is graduating as our youngest graduate.
17.
Yes, and she actually is still in high school, but she is graduating.
How is this possible? It's a miracle.
She is one of the students who took advantage of the RIVAL workplace certificate.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
That is, so my hometown gave a couple of speeches over the last couple of years where I referenced, and again, growing up in Elwood City, I really put a charge out. For years, since the mill shut down, folks have talked about what Elwood City could become. Elwood City could become a suburb of Cranberry, as an example. Elwood City could do this, do that. But let's really invest in our youth. So I challenge the Elwood City community to donate money for us to deliver an entrepreneurship program to the students of Elwood City and Riverside. And it's a combination between BC3 and Community College of Beaver County. Very unique of four different institutions coming together in Elwood and Riverside, our rivals on the football field. And the community stepped up, I think, about $70,000 or $75,000. And we have this cohort of students who have gone through the program.
Mm-hmm.
And they will receive their credential at graduation. And it's my understanding that that a handful, if not the bulk of them, will then be matriculating to BC3 in the fall semester.
Yeah,
so it shows our diversity from 70 to 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we also have 32 student veterans that are graduating.
So these are people who've come out of the service and then gone to BC3?
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
And we have employees from Oberg Industries because of a partnership we have there for precision manufacturing. Mm-hmm. We have a couple with six kids. Both the wife and the husband are graduating next week. So it's just a nice ceremony that kind of brings all people from all different walks of life together. So I liked seeing that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way to look at our population.
Yeah.
It's a very human interest.
Exactly.
Mix there. It's a good story. You mentioned this young lady, I think, 17 years old, obviously taking some college courses while she was still in high school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there many students who take advantage of that?
Yeah.
You have to be a pretty strong student to do that. Not everybody could manage it, I don't think. But you could really get a head start on your degree if you could take a few courses.
We have several hundred students in that program. And when I met with this cohort in Elwood City, that's exactly what they said, is that they were not used to the rigor of a college class. And these are college classes. Mm-hmm. And it is a great way for students to get ahead and save a semester's worth of work or even perhaps a year's worth of work and all the money that would be attached to that tuition.
Do they do that, by the way, online, or do they actually come on campus and take classes?
So our college within the high school courses are in-person traditional classroom, but we are starting a pilot program at the VOTEC, the Butler County VOTEC, that's going to start in the fall. And that will give students the opportunity to earn 15 credits from our business division before they graduate from the VOTEC and from high school. Excellent. And those courses are going to be offered all online.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Dr. Neupower referenced earlier in our conversation today good news on summer enrollment. That's going to be increased this year over last, I guess.
Yeah, we are very pleased that we are changes day to day. Yesterday was 5%, today's 3.8% increase in the students who take our classes. We have, and Jess will be able to help me out with this, we have a variety of offerings, 3-week mm-hmm. courses, online courses, 5-week courses, and do we still have the traditional 6 or 8 week courses? So wide variety of options for students, and students understand the value of our courses, the quality of our courses, and it really goes without being said, like the old days when we were beginning in 1966 or so, will this transfer? You know, these courses absolutely will transfer, mm-hmm. and it's a great way for students to get ahead. And we'll take Meredith, our youngest, as an example. Just the fact that if we did the math, she would have had to have had some 16, 17 credit semesters with labs. So when you throw the labs in, that kind of whacks.
Heavy load.
It's a heavy load, yeah. By taking a 3-credit summer course, just lowering that to 13 or 14 credits, and you are still on target, makes all the difference in the world just with work life and personal balance whenever you're going to a senior institution like she is at IUP. Mm-hmm. And again, more and more students are taking advantage of our great summer offerings.
Yeah, and if you can do that, when I was in school, I had to work during the summers to make tuition money for the fall for the next year. But if you don't have to, it's great. Take a course or two and then transfer it to wherever you were going to school during the fall and winter, and you can speed up your graduation time.
Something that has really become blurred since we've all been in school, our model was exactly that, fall, spring, work. Later in my time at Penn State, it was fall, spring, summer, work. Now, these winter classes that we offer, you literally can take 3 credits during your winter break because there's enough time that's built in there.
Mm-hmm.
We have not the 15-week semesters, but we have the fast-track courses, which are 5 weeks each, the different offerings that you have in the summer. So for both of our daughters, it was never just fall, spring, summer off, work, go to school. They've always taken classes throughout, and that does include the winter. And I think more and more of our students are doing that.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that your class catalog is reduced for summer. That would have to be. It is at any institution, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to be offering as many sections of particular courses as you would during the fall and the spring.
Right. There aren't as many classes, but we do have, you know, various start times and formats, as Dr. Neupower mentioned before, five-week online fast tracks, traditional. They're at not just main campus, but our campus sites. Mm-hmm. So not as many in quantity, but we still offer our different formats and our different time frames, just so that's convenient for a variety of different students, just depending on what it is that they're coming to us for and what their life looks like over the summer.
We had mentioned before that the old model, and this is even since I've been at the college of 99, since 99, the old model, the community colleges were primarily evening. I shouldn't say primarily. There were a large number of students who would take classes in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that in the old days of the college, before you came, we would have an evening administrator. And I think before I started in 99, under whatever administration, there was even a dean for evening programs. And we're so unusual in many ways, but community college students, that graduation number that I gave you, that's a three-year number. That's not a two-year number. Community college students primarily go part-time. Actually, that has gone back and forth over the years. Now we have more part-time students than we have full-time students. But my point in bringing this up, the evening classes that were once offered yesteryear, there are very few evening classes that are offered on all of our campuses. But those students instead are opting for the online courses.
Mm-hmm.
And the online courses provide that great flexibility. But to Jess's point, morning, daytime, nighttime, online, hybrid, that's where you take online, then you come to campus a few days. Main campus or all over northwestern Pennsylvania, we provide our students with great options.
So on the calendar, commencement is next Wednesday. Is finals week over? Are they still taking finals this week? Or
finals week is
it's done?
Wrapped up. Yep.
What about registration for summer? Does that continue for a while yet?
It does, because we have the various start dates, one of which is Monday, actually before commencement.
Yeah.
The registration is rolling up until the start of the last session for summer.
So campus will be humming in the summertime. Yeah. The days of nothing but the sound of bees flying around in the summer is gone. Huh?
Or what cicadas?
I forgot. Yeah. Yes, this year. Yeah, but, you got a lot of trees out there too. Yeah. You're going to have a lot of cicadas.
Actually, when I started at Penn State, and I think there's a mathematics to that. They come out every so often. But I'll tell you, that summer of '85 at Penn State Beaver, the cicadas were out. And they will be out on our campus. But you brought up a point that I would be really remiss in not mentioning real quickly here. Yes, campus will be buzzing, but this cliche, we're the community's college. Dave, over the last couple of weeks, our campus has been humming. You had the Q&A, what I will call debate, with the candidates last week.
Mm-hmm.
Suck Up Theater. To say it was packed all at one time would be an exaggeration. There were hundreds of people in and out. We had the Apprenticeship Summit. We had a youth Butler County Youth Leadership Program graduation a couple of nights ago. President Scholar's presentation, a poster session for STEM. Our business students, honorary business students, had something at the college. We had a session for our graduates in the education program.
We also had an end-of-year celebration for the kids at the Amy Wise Children's Creative Learning Center.
Yes.
And that is especially special to me because my daughter is having her first year of preschool, or just completed her first year of preschool at the CCLC. And that was really fun. The students had a performance, and that brought a lot of people onto campus.
And your dad actually went to the debate for an hour and then went over.
He did, yep.
We're the community's college. We don't have all of our eggs in a single basket. whether it be workforce, public safety, continuing education, credit, all over Northwestern Pennsylvania, but all of the events that we host. Many, many years ago when Dr. Bartok started, he said that his goal, he started in 93, his goal for his first year of presidency was he didn't want to ever hear people say you're the best kept secret. I've taken that personally because of my background in communication, Jess's leadership, we've beefed up her department. And I think when you go full circle, and now we've been around for, what, 53, 54 years, no longer do I ever hear that we're the best kept secret. We are out and about, and it is intentional. There are taxpayer dollars on a local level and a state level. We want people to utilize our asset 365, 7 days a week. The walking trail, doesn't matter if I'm there 6 in the morning or leave tonight at 8:30, people are on that walking trail. And again, it's been intentional, and we're all very proud of that.
Well, there are not only going to be college students on campus this summer for the various summer programs, there will be younger ones there as well, Jess. The very popular Kids on Campus program is going to be back, I understand.
It is, and that is for students grades kindergarten through 12th grade. There's programming for all school ages. It starts actually in June. The camps start in June. There are new camps every week through August. But there's going to be an open house for anyone who is interested in learning more about our offerings, coming to see the campus, meeting some of the teachers. That's going to be on May 22nd at 5 o'clock in the lobby of the Suck Up Theater.
That's an excellent idea. This whole concept of Kids on Campus is tremendous. I just wish there had been something like this when I was that age. You know, this is not just, you know, busy work keeping kids occupied. These are incredible opportunities to take a course for a week or a couple of weeks or whatever. And I know they'll be putting out a program, but...
It is available now, actually, bc3.edu/KOC. You can see all the offerings from STEM-related offerings for kids to cooking classes, arts and crafts, athletics, gardening, sewing, all different areas.
Tom Bennett, Sue and Fred's son, Tom, who's an adjunct instructor for us in English, Bill Miller, golf coach, former dean of humanities and social sciences, talked to son Corey in Austin. And all of those individuals, Tom, Corey, and Austin, all referenced their early years when Sue and Fred would take the boys to a basketball game, when Corey and Austin were on campus to watch Bill coach, whenever they would go to a Kids on Campus equivalent, and the impression that that had on them from a very young age. And, you know, each of the aforementioned took classes at BC3. And there's a real comfortable, safe feeling on our campus. And while it could be another 12 years before those students have those decisions to make, you know, many of them might end up coming to BC3.
And from a kid's standpoint, there's a certain cachet about being able to say, well, I'm spending the next couple of weeks on campus, you know.
That's right.
How about that? I'm the cock of the walk here.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Right.
Well, if you're not familiar with this program, Kids on Campus, stop at the open house. What are the dates and the time for that again?
Again, it's May 22nd, and it's at 5 p.m., 5 to 7 p.m. It's in the Suck Up Theater in the lobby, the AK Steel lobby.
You can get all the particulars. And as I understand it, that, you know, you can go for a week, you can go all summer, you can go 1 week and skip 2 weeks, whatever. It's a very flexible program.
Exactly, yeah, and there's before and after care options as well. So, I encourage people to come and check it out, learn more about it.
We'll take a break. Be back to talk more with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart and their client aid program. And the client aid program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, client aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Hi, my name's Joe, and I work at Compassionate Certification Centers, and I believe in CCC and medical marijuana because we are changing patients' lives in a positive way each and every day. Compassionate Certification Centers is a physician-owned clinic that helps certify patients in PA for their medical marijuana license. Please contact Compassionate Certification Centers at 888-316-9085 or register online at cccregister.com.
Gardening season is here, and that means it's time to take a drive through the country to Schnorr's Greenhouse. At Schnorr's Greenhouse, you will find beautiful perennials and annuals to beautify your home for all blooming seasons. Schnorr's Greenhouse is a family-owned business, and they take great pride in providing you with the best flowers, plants, and veggies. Schnorr's Greenhouse is located right off Herman Road, open daily from 9 to 8, Saturday till 5, and Sunday 11 to 5. For 130 years, Schnorr's Greenhouse has been where to grow.
At Schnorr's Greenhouse, folks, and I want to tell you talk about experience. They've been around since 1889. That's not 1989, that's 1889. Same family, Schnorr's Greenhouse, where to grow. Beautiful selection of flowers, expertise, good stop for a Mother's Day gift for Mom. Schnorr's Greenhouse, just off Herman Road. Look for the RC Men's Club sign and you'll be almost there. Talking with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Newpower, Jess Matnock, Director of Communications, also with us. I always like to mention staff members, instructors, professors who have been honored, and Les Graves is one of those.
Yeah, he is an assistant professor at BC3. He's been teaching at BC3 for 8 years, and he was the winner of the Region 2 Teaching Excellence Award. And this is through ACBSP, which is the Accreditation Council for Business Goals and Programs. That's our accrediting agency for our business division, mm-hmm. the programs in our business division. And he, the district or region two is Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, and DC. But then he'll go to the national conference to be considered for the national award. So he's only one of five finalists for that. So we'll see.
Still a pretty big honor. That's a large geographical area where he's.
Yep.
And I think it's very important to note, we've referenced Penn State a couple of times. Our average faculty to student ratio is 18 to 1. I took an astronomy class at Penn State where there were several hundred. When I taught at West Virginia University, I taught to 400 students. It was in a large auditorium, and the students were evaluated with a 50-point midterm and a 50-point final. That's it. That's not what BC3 is about. We are a teaching, student-centered institution, and while we value service, and we certainly value scholarship also, our priority is teaching. And Les is a great representation of the quality that our faculty bring into the classroom. We're incredibly proud of Les. One of his colleagues, Sherry Mack, I think a few years prior, mm-hmm. received the same recognition. So we will keep our fingers crossed for Les to see if he ends up the national award winner.
I had a similar experience, by the way. When I was in undergraduate school, I took a class with 200 people in it, and the professor was actually on TV.
Yeah,
he wasn't in the classroom, but he was a great prof, and I wanted to take the course, but it was strange.
Penn State, I'll stick on this topic a little bit. It'll summarize a lot of what we've been talking about. Penn State was one of the front runners in what was called at that time distance education or correspondence education. Its distance ed was, and I had this at Penn State Beaver. The last class that I took was an anthropology class to graduate. I was working for the Beaver County Times, had 3 credits to go. And the professor was broadcast out of University Park, and TVs of 1989, I guess, certainly not flat screen, that we would watch him. And there was an intercom system that was set up in order to buzz in with questions. Mm. I don't know if this was your time or not, but it is the Nittany Lion Inn. There is a plaque that talks about public broadcasting TV, PBS, being stationed out of state college. And actually, back probably around your time when you went, Penn State used PBS to broadcast classes to the masses that was an early form of distance ed. And my final point, and this was very much in play when I was a student at Penn State, correspondence courses, is that you were given a syllabus, you had to buy the book, and then when you would take your midterm, your final, you would go to a nearby institution. I did this when I was provost a couple of times, that there were students who would come in as part of a correspondence course. I would sign off that the student was watched, the student didn't cheat or anything like that. And then the student would give the test to my secretary and I. We would seal the envelope and send it back. Huh. And that all goes back to University Park, and I guess the early model for what has now grown into utilizing the internet for distance education.
Yeah, WPSU, that
yes,
was.
That's correct.
Yeah. I think it was Channel 3 when I was there. I don't remember for sure, but that was they had half national PBS broadcasting. They also were involved with the distance ed at that time,
yeah.
Primitive distance ed, and then they did some local programming too. They had, the Joe Paterno show and some other stuff that was on there.
Well, we've mentioned before, clock hours or seat hours are becoming less and less and less relevant. The model that 3 credits equals 45 classroom hours plus 3 final exam hours, now it is based more on competencies. So if you can achieve the competencies for a distance ed class, we have some of our internet classes that are structured. You go at your own pace. And if you can get to this certain competency level and do it in 4 weeks instead of 5, we give the students that opportunity. That goes back to the Carnegie measurement unit, which dates back to the early 1900s or perhaps even beforehand, is that there needed to be some quantification of what a seat time was, and that 1 credit hour equals 15 hours, 3 credits equals 45, etc. That's becoming less and less as time goes by.
Speaking of a more traditional model where new students would start in the fall semester, I've talked to some students recently, and it appears that decisions of where they're going to go to school are made later than they were back in my time. Most kids, pretty much by January or February of their senior year in high school, they knew where they were, what they were going to do. I guess it's not that way anymore. So probably there are some, what I would say, late decisions to go to BC3, starting in the fall. You can still do that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think our highest application numbers are in July and August.
Yeah. So that kind of, I mean, my evidence is anecdotal, of course, but when I have young people here, young adults, I usually ask them what their plans are. And in many cases, I say, well, not quite sure yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the other point is, and our oldest was an example of this. It's great to take the yearbook picture, your senior year in high school, with all the different big-name colleges and universities and privates and different states, Florida, Atlantic, University of Texas. But as time goes by, and that fall semester gets closer and closer and closer, to Jess's point, people change their minds for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And while the privates, like a Grove City College as an example, their class has been long established before July, as Jess pointed out, we get very high numbers the closer that the semester ends up getting. And a lot of that has to do with that reason, maybe cold feet, you analyze the finances, et cetera. So we do enroll students not only right up to the start date, but because we have these late start classes even afterward.
I need to get one more break in here. We have a couple of more things to talk about on the program today, so stick around. We'll be back with more of It's Your Turn here on a Thursday right after these words.
On May 21st, I'm voting for Attorney Wink Robinson to serve as Butler County's next Common Pleas Court judge. I urge you to join with me and support him with your vote. This is Attorney Ray Conlon. I've known Wink both professionally and personally for nearly 3 decades. He's the most experienced candidate, possesses a solid knowledge of the law, has respect for others, and exhibits unquestionable ethical standards. Attorney Wink Robinson is clearly the right choice to serve as judge for all Butler County citizens. Please join me and thank Wink on May 21st.
Paid for by the candidate, William Wink Robinson.
Pittsburgh commuters, are you tired of sitting in traffic while wasting all of your money on parking fees, wear and tear on your vehicle, and gas? Butler Transit is a commuter's choice from Butler County to Pittsburgh. BTA's chartered buses offer free park and ride locations, onboard Wi-Fi, and charging stations, and real-time bus location technology. Stop worrying about traffic, detours, and downtown parking. Catch a bus at a location near you. Visit butlertransit.com for daily schedules, mobile ticketing, and a stress-free commute.
I'm Dr. Robert Waltrip, a shoulder specialist at Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. New technology has revolutionized shoulder replacement surgery and allows precise placement of components to optimize patient outcomes. I was one of the first surgeons in the region to incorporate innovative three-dimensional computer planning software in shoulder replacement surgery. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, please visit tririversmsk.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Welcome back. Hey, we want to talk a little bit about sports because, Jess, there were three former BC3 Pioneer athletes inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that was just last weekend.
It was. Tom McConnell, who was a basketball player 1978-80. Megan Nimmo, which she was Smith when she was a Pioneer, a volleyball player in 2002 and 2003, and Michael Cassino, who was a golfer in 2007-2009.
Inducted into the Hall of Fame, named in honor of Chuck Dunaway,
yes.
Charles W. Dunaway.
A couple of comments. Now at a point for being around at the college so long, I remember Megan and Michael as students. Tom Beckett also returned. I think Tom was in one of our first classes, perhaps the inaugural class for the Dunaway Pioneer Hall of Fame. And Tom was a coach at BC3 back in the day, both baseball and basketball. He ended up at a stint, I think, at San Jose State and then as athletic director at Yale. So there are a lot of very interesting stories about Tom Beckett. And again, he was recognized a couple years prior, and he was in town, so he spoke. The other thing is McConnell's a great basketball name in Western Pennsylvania.
Yes, indeed.
As a matter of fact, there's a McConnell who plays for in the NBA right now.
TJ, I think?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played for, speaking of Western PA, I believe started at Duquesne and then transferred to Sean Miller in Arizona, who's originally from Elwood City. And Tom is the coach of the very highly successful IUP's women's basketball team, which I believe made it to the Final Eight or the Final Four this year. So we've talked about previously the significance of sports, particularly in Western Pennsylvania, and how you can utilize BC3 to get from point A to point B. And here are a couple examples of that.
Community College has long had a strong golf team. I'll tell you what, these guys are doing yeoman work. Classes are over, finals week is over, and they're still playing.
They are. They play tomorrow, actually. That's their last regular season game. Right now they're 6-0. And then they will go on to compete in our region tournament on May 20th and 21st. So, and then they could qualify then for nationals. So they are, yeah, they're still in the game.
Yes.
Get extra pay for that. School here. The community college, and Dr. Neupower has talked about this in the past, a presence downtown, a presence all over western Pennsylvania. You have a workforce development division going to be meeting in a couple of weeks downtown, right?
Yeah. And what a great example. I'm so proud of that initiative, and people like Tracy Hack and Lisa Campbell have helped carry it out. We have that downtown presence. You'll see our sign on Main Street. And the beauty is that we're utilizing different locations in the downtown to offer lectures, classes, etc. And this next one will be a hands-only CPR course. It's part of our Lunch and Learn series, and it'll be May 22nd at the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. And I've often talked about the town and gown relationship with colleges and universities, and the individuals just, you know, grabbing a cup of coffee or stopping at Miller Meats or what have you, getting a newspaper on their way to the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott to take this course. It's kind of a cool vibe, and we're really succeeding along those lines, and I think going forward it'll only expand.
May 22nd will be the date for that. And with the end of the spring semester, end of the school year, you might say, the performing arts series will be wrapping up, too, at Suckup Theater. One more performance, Pittsburgh Philharmonic. That's this weekend, Jess, right?
Yeah. Yep, it's on Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. The performance is called First Listen. And, yeah, it's the final of the Philharmonic miniseries. This is the fourth performance on campus.
They've made their northern home, Suckup Theater, a series of performances every year.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for being with us. I know you guys are busy because you got pinning coming up tonight for the nurses, and you got commencement and everything else. Good to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Program note, Pirate baseball tonight. Ooh, boy, the Bucks let one get away yesterday, didn't they? We were listening yesterday afternoon here on WISR. Leading by 4 runs going into the 8th inning. It looks like it was money in the bank, but didn't happen. Now they're on the road. They're in St. Louis. They start a road trip against the Cardinals tonight. Airtime is 7:20 for Pirate warm-up here on WISR this evening from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30, on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Does she really love me? I think she does. says, honey, keep the oven warm. Well, the clouds are clearing, and I think we're over the storm. But I've been picking it up around me. Lazy, I think I'm sane. Well, I'm awful glad, and I guess you're really to blame.